Methodists, in addition to scripture and tradition and reason as norms for their life, add, revealingly, experience. It is a tradition that places a very high premium on personal experience and the transformation of the heart. There are about 12 million members of the Methodist, or as it is also sometimes called, Wesleyan tradition in the United States of America. The Reformed tradition began in France and Switzerland with John Calvin, but achieved great success among English-speaking populations under John Knox in Scotland. This Reformed tradition, also sometimes called the Presbyterian tradition, is strict and intellectually rigorous. The great 20th century theologian Karl Barth, for example, is a member of the Reformed tradition. The Presbyterian tradition embraces the doctrine of election by grace, has an elected leadership, and elicits an enthusiastic commitment to good works. It is also quite small. There are about 5 million members of the Presbyterian community in the United States of America. Penultimately, there are Christians who belong to the broad Anabaptist tradition. The Anabaptists began in Germany about the same time that the Lutheran tradition did. But it was a much more radical form of Reformation. Lutheranism remained very closely identified with Catholicism and really was a sort of corrective to Catholicism, retained many elements of the sacraments and so forth, with an emphasis upon scripture and faith. The Anabaptist tradition privileged what might be called the independent status of the individual congregation. It broke more decisively away from the hierarchical, centralized organization of other traditions. And so each congregation is freestanding. And there's a strong emphasis upon adult conversion, thus Anabaptist, to be baptized again. The practice of adult baptism. It is centered, as I said, in the local congregation and is sometimes called the Free Church tradition. This is the largest form of Protestantism today, especially in the United States, and it is the most evangelical. It is the most explicitly scripturally based. Most Baptists reject any form of creed, any form of hierarchy, really put a tremendous emphasis upon the liberty of Christians. There are about 29 million Baptists in the United States, and it is growing rapidly, especially in Eastern Europe. It is by far the largest group of Protestants in the United States. Finally, there are literally thousands of other versions of Protestantism, including the holiness traditions, Pentecostal traditions, and a spectrum of national, local amalgams of all of these kinds of traditions. So there really is a bewildering variety of forms of Christianity on offer today. Many of them simply springing up from the ground because some local Christian regards him or herself as having a special calling, begins a congregation, and out of that grows a kind of a loose network of affiliation. The biggest scandal to non-Christians in this constant splintering and proliferation of Christian denominations is the intense rivalry and hostility that has so often existed among them, deriving from each one's claim to be an exclusive representation of authentic Christianity. Diversity in itself is by no means a scandalous proposition. Indeed, it might be a source of rich resources within the Christian tradition and a variety of styles of expressing certain shared beliefs and practices. But it is the exclusivity of these claims that is shocking to those who see Christianity proclaiming unity and not practicing it. Whether it is the Bishop of Rome, who governs over a billion Christians worldwide, or the pastor of a local church in Decatur, Georgia, who is preaching to 50 people, there is something ludicrous in the claim to being the only absolute representation of the truth. When Christian diversity becomes division, and when it becomes rivalry, it becomes a weakness to Christianity, and weakens Christianity's claim to be taken seriously very severely.